listening to Women Who Change Tech, the podcast that gives you access to women who are contributing, inspiring, trailblazing, and disrupting the business of technology. We believe that when women inspire other women, amazing things happen. I'm your host, Allison Wade.
And I am your host, Jessie Sterenshoes, and we are connecting women around the world to share ideas that help us thrive and advance in our personal lives and in our careers.
Be sure to share this podcast with your friends, rate and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and help us bring Women Who Change Tech into the lives of more professionals.
Hold on to your seats as we give you a dose of inspiration from some of the most talented and creative women who are shifting the face of technology.
Good morning, Jessie. How are you?
Doing wonderful. How are you doing?
Very, very well. Thank you very much. Beautiful morning in Florida.
It is. Not too rainy, not too sunny. Perfect.
So what have you been up to this week?
I have been working on getting plans ready for the upcoming workshop that you did with us last year.
Oh my God. That was one of the most amazing and horrifying experiences of my life.
Yeah? Did it have anything to do with a cartwheel, perhaps?
It could have had to do with a cartwheel. Yeah, so I just have to tell our listeners that Jessie's workshop, not workshop, but workshop, is one of the most amazing things on the planet. And last year we went to Scotland and walked in the Scottish Highlands. And where are you going to be this year?
We're going to be in the Black Forest in Germany.
Oh, I know. I'm so jealous. I cannot go.
I wish you could come.
I know. I really wish I could come, but it's the same time as our Star West conference, so I cannot. But last year I went with Jessie and I had the most amazing first day, met the coolest group of people. We did our walk shopping and we had a great morning and we hiked for 4 hours and we had lunch and we had a few drams of whiskey, as you do because you're in Scotland. And then we all kind of just hung out and did a few things and we were at the regathering point, and there was several of us just laying in the grass, and you know, the sun was shining, the birds were singing, and someone said, "Let's do cartwheels." Don't know who that was.
No Jessie. Idea. No idea.
And I said, "What a great idea!" So we started doing cartwheels. I know Jessie's an ex-gymnast. I'm an ex-gymnast. It just sounded like a good thing to do. And the first two went really well. The third one, not so much. Should have realized that I'm beyond the age of doing cartwheels in a field.
Triple cartwheels. You did two just perfectly.
I know, right? And I was wearing hiking boots and my leg was under tension, so I tore my hamstring really badly. So sadly, I limped my way through Scotland. But even with that, it was still one of the best experiences of my life. It was so much fun.
Yeah, it's so hard to resist a big grassy green field and not do cartwheels on it. I mean, it's just so hard.
I know, it really is. So
it is.
Hard.
Anyway, we also have some fun coming up this weekend that I think we should share. It's no cartwheel contest or anything, but we are going to be looking for shark's teeth together.
Yeah, I can't wait. So Jessie and I both live in Jacksonville, but we barely ever see each other because we're like always traveling around. But we planned this weekend because, Jess, you've done this before, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm a shark's tooth expert, actually.
And didn't you like find mammoth teeth too or something like that?
Like megalodon teeth. We found all sorts of bones, like prehistoric bones. And like the stuff that we'll find there this weekend is between 2 and 20 million years old. It's insane.
It's just so amazing. So yeah, we're taking our families and we're going to Mudslingers in Gainesville, Florida. And we're going to be slinging some mud and finding some 2 million old prehistoric sharks and megalodon teeth. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
We will report on it in our next podcast, how awesome our finds were.
We'll be like wearing like shark's teeth and ancient shark teeth necklaces, right?
Yes, we should meet up in Canada with our shark's teeth necklaces.
And we should take jewelry making classes or something like that.
Yes, perfect. So I'm excited because today we are going to be talking to Denise Jacobs, who I met a few years ago at NDC Oslo, which is the Norwegian Developers Conference. And we had a mutual friend who connected us, and basically we've been friends ever since. She is an amazing woman, and she's a speaker, an author, and a creativity evangelist. She speaks at conferences and she consults with companies worldwide. And we cannot wait for you to listen to Denise. I want to introduce everyone to Denise Jacobs, our guest today. She is a woman who is evangelizing creativity in the technology community. So I first met Denise at NDC Oslo in Norway in, I believe, 2014. I was told by a friend of ours, Doc Norton, that there was this person that I absolutely needed to meet, and it was a crime that we hadn't met yet. So later that evening, we had a speaker's cruise, as one does, on the fjords, and I was introduced to Denise, and honestly, the rest is history. We couldn't stop talking since then. It turns out she also lives in Florida, like I do. However, she lives in Miami. Denise Jacobs is a speaker, an author, and a creativity evangelist who speaks at conferences and consults with companies worldwide. As the founder and CEO of The Creative Dosh, she promotes techniques to unlock creativity and help people become engaged contributors and collaborators and authentic leaders. Denise is the author of Banish Your Inner Critic. Allison, I am really excited today to introduce you and our audience to Denise.
Hey. So nice to meet you. Unlike Jesse, apparently, who meets all of her friends in the Fiordlands, I did not have that privilege. But since we live in Florida, we could like maybe meet up at a strip mall.
Yeah, totally. Sweet. I would totally love that so much.
No fjords in Florida.
No, but maybe a little Ann Taylor.
That's right.
No. Yep. Ann Taylor and a gas station.
Little Ann Taylor, and then we can go and we can, you know, get some like Cuban food.
Perfect. Sounds perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so excited to meet you. I've heard so much about you, and I love your title, Creative Evangelist. I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about what led you to knowing this is who you are, and this is how you show up and help others, and just tell us about your journey in tech and how it started and how you ended up as a creative evangelist.
So this is actually one of my favorite stories to tell, because it kind of encompasses a lot of things all at once. So I wrote a book about cascading style sheets and how to troubleshoot them. So I ended up writing a technical book. It's called The CSS Detective Guide. Awesome. And when I started the process of writing the book, I was all like, kind of feeling all like badass and confident and stuff when I like did the proposal and everything. And then I got the book deal and I was like, sweet, I got a book deal. And then I made this like super aggressive writing schedule for myself, which was actually not tenable. And then set a date for when I was going to start writing the book, which was July 29th, 2009. And on July 29th, 2009, I woke up in a panic. And I proceeded to cry for about 4 hours. And needless to say, I didn't get any work done that day. And so I bucked myself up and I was like, tomorrow's a new day. I am going to start writing tomorrow. And I woke up on the 30th of June in a panic and cried for 4 hours.
You're like, I am not a CSS badass.
I am not. I was like, everybody's going to find out. So I actually ended up writing this note, this letter to this women's tech group that like a listserv that I was on. It was called Digital Eve Seattle, because I had lived in Seattle and I still was connected to the group. And I was like, if anybody's going to understand this, it's going to be this group of women. And I wrote this impassioned email like, I just got this book deal. I'm totally freaking out and I'm panicking. And what if What if I'm, you know, people find out that I don't know what I'm talking about? And what if people find out that I'm a fraud and I'm not a good enough designer and I'm not smart enough and not enough of an expert, blah, blah, blah. And got some really nice support from that and sent out another email to another group of women in tech that I knew and got good support from that. And, you know, that was enough to so that on the 1st of July, I actually sat down and did the very rigorous work of research. So, if you can imagine, here I am freaking out about literally something that I do all the time.
Right.
Right. Like, all you need to do is go on the web and look up some freaking articles about CSS and HTML. Like, this is not outside of your scope of capacities and capabilities.
Right.
So anyway, kind of fast forward, I'm writing the book. Every day I'm dealing with this voice that's like, you're not good enough and this should be somebody else's book. And then they're going to find out that you don't know and you got to make it look like you really know what you're talking about and look like an expert and your designs have got to be amazing and all this stuff. And finally, I had this moment, I started writing in July and probably somewhere in October, where I was like, you know, this is crazy. Like these voices are here all the time. Like, what can I do to like silence self-doubt?
Right.
Like what do I do? Stop self-doubt, silence self-doubt, shut up, inner voice. So I did a search on the web and I started looking at these articles about how to silence self-doubt. And I came across this article that was talking about how to banish your inner critic. And I was like, oh, there's a name for it. That's cool. It was called Banishing Your Inner Critic, or was say I had that line in the thing. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. Okay. And so I started trying to use these techniques. And then for the next, whatever, 6 or so months from that point on, I was trying to use these techniques. So whenever I had these moments, I'd be like, shut up, come back later. I'm not going to deal with you. So then now that's October. And let's fast forward to the end of February. So end of February, I finish my last chapter. I send it to my publisher. And then I start working on my website for my book because I hadn't had a chance to do that because I was like, you know, writing a book and stuff. And I started working on my website and I had this amazing experience. So I had this experience where I went into this like phenomenal flow state that just lasted for hours. And I even broke it and came back to it and it just lasted for hours. And I was, you know, I was in Photoshop and I was doing the design according to my sketch and then embellishing and all this stuff. And it was the first time in 9 months that I didn't have that voice that said, is it good enough? And is it this? And, you know, your design needs to be all this stuff. It was the first time. And so I had this amazing experience, went to sleep at 5:30 in the morning, woke up at 7:30 in the morning.
What?
And
I would have
been crying. Yeah, no, I'm right. And I woke up and I just felt like, you know, that feeling when you're in love with somebody and you're just that like, oh, everything is amazing and wonderful. And
no,
I had that feeling, but instead of it being externalized to another person, it was all focused back on myself.
That is really, really cool.
And I love that.
And it was focused. It was like, I fell in love with my ability to create and I was in love with my ideas and I was in love with my way of expressing it. And it was like the first time that I had really ever felt like that. And in that moment, I thought to myself, I want to help other people feel like this. Like, this yes. is the most amazing feeling. And I called my mother in tears because you know how it is when you have like a major revelation about something.
And
like,
you sleep for tears. 2 hours.
Right. And you have it left and you're like, so hyped up. I'm all high on life. And I called my mother and I was like, Mom, I know what I want to do with my life. And she was like, what, you're okay. What's happening? What's wrong? And I was like, Mom, I want to help people get in touch with their creativity. Like, I want to spread the good word of creativity. It's like I want to evangelize creativity. It's like,
amen.
I'm a creativity evangelist.
And was she like, that's nice, sweetheart.
That's nice, dear.
That's nice, dear.
All right. She was like, all righty then. And then I got off the phone with her. I went to GoDaddy.com. I searched creativityevangelist.com. It was available. I bought it.
Oh,
and that's when I started thinking of myself as a creativity evangelist, even though it was probably a year later before I actually started putting that like on a business card.
Oh my God. Okay. So I've only just met you, but you and I have so much in common already because I had a very similar experience, but I read this quote by Mohadisha Nujami that said, "The woman who does not require validation from anyone is the most feared individual on the planet."
Amen, sister.
Ooh.
And when I read that quote, it just changed my life. It was like a life-changing moment. And there's a set of other circumstances that I won't go into, but now, but because I want to talk to you, want to hear about you, but
we'll talk about it in Ann Taylor.
Yes, exactly.
The strip.
Talk about it over Cuban food.
Yeah. That led me to where I am today. I started Women Who Test for the testing community, and I had the same experience. I want everybody to experience what I am experiencing now. That feeling of just the power and the
confidence.
Ease and confidence of knowing that you are perfect and that you know what you need to know and that you can do all these great things. So yes, completely relate. That's awesome. Awesome story.
So Denise, so once you figured out that you wanted to spread the good word of creativity,
well,
what did you do next?
She was an evangelist.
So what I did next, so here was the thing. So here was the rub, right?
Mm-hmm.
My book, The CSS Detective Guide, had just come out. And part of my impetus for writing a book was that I really wanted to become a speaker and start speaking on the web design conference speaking circuit, quote unquote. And so I wrote the book to kind of give myself the authority so that I could feel confident enough to go to conferences and say, hey, I should speak at your conference because like I'm an expert in MERD. And they'll be like, isn't MERD a bad word? And they'll be like, let's talk about something else.
look
Haley's Comet.
Exactly. Look, Haley's Comet. Yes.
You're like, look, where? In Miami.
Because people only speak Spanish in Miami.
That's right.
It's anyway, so that was like my main kind of thrust behind spending all that time writing a book was so that other people would consider myself an expert. But I think in a lot of ways it was so that I realized later that it's because I needed to consider myself an expert. And I almost felt like I couldn't do it without having a book behind me. So I'd written this book and I was like, so what, I'm going to write a book about CSS and then I'm going to roll out and start saying that I'm a speaker on creativity. Not so much. And so I took a page from, I don't know if you guys know who Aaron Walter is. Mm-hmm. He used to be the lead design, head designer, director of design at, I think UX actually, at MailChimp.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's at another company, which I can't remember the name of right now, but he's also doing that. And he wrote, his first book was on findability, like how to make websites that are findable and have good SEO and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But then probably less than a year later, he kind of got on the web speaking circuit and at like high level web design conferences talking about emotional design. And almost, I wouldn't say overnight, but you know, within a year's time, maybe a little bit more, instead of being a guy who's like about findability, he became the emotional design guy, like the emotional design guy. And so only because I've been in the web for about a trillion years, do I know that he first, before he was the emotional design guy, he wrote a book on findability.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, but in Aaron Walter's case, nobody cares about that.
Mm-hmm.
All they care about is the emotional design. And I was like, okay, so this is what we're going to do. I'm going to make a name for myself as a really good speaker and who happens to talk about CSS and CSS3 and all this jazz. And I said, and then after I kind of make a name for myself and people seem to be interested in having me talk, I'm going to start transitioning my content and start transitioning it into creativity. And that's exactly what I did. So, you know, I started speaking regularly in 2010. And then in 2011, that's when people started actually inviting me to speak instead of me, like, you know, filling out CFPs and stuff. And then I started being like, hey, I've got this new content and it's about like creativity and the creative process and getting creatively unblocked. And people are like, ooh. And I was like, yeah. And then next thing you know, I'm speaking about that. And then within a year's time of that, I'm doing more of that than I am about CSS. And then I just like was like, I'm just going to draw a line in the sand. If somebody says, hey, can you talk about CSS 3? I'm going to be like, I don't talk about that right now anymore. I talk about this creativity stuff. Right. I can recommend you CSS 3 people. If you want to see a creativity talk, I'm your girl.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And that's what happened.
Nice. Did you find that people were open to that or were they scared of talks on creativity?
No, totally. Like totally. So I spoke at this conference called OrDev in 2012. And they reached out to me. The guy reached out to me, super nice. His name was Martin Gunderson. And he wrote, reached out to me. He said, hey, we've got this developer conference. We need somebody to talk about CSS. And this was literally like right when I had made the decision. I was like, no more CSS talks. But the conference was in Malmö, Sweden. And I was like,
you're like, okay, I'll bend
over. Sweden, I will make a little exception. So I wrote him back and I said, hey, happy to talk about do a CSS talk. Here's what I propose, though. I said, but I'm not really doing so much of those anymore. So here's what I propose. I'll do a CSS talk. It'll be a very like creative CSS talk, A. As it and B, if you have any other spaces, I'd like to do a talk on creativity as well. And he's like, well, let me find out. And then he comes back and goes, hey, great news. We have a space so that you can do a creativity talk as well. And I was like, awesome. So the CSS talk that I did was based like basic, like in a fairy tale format where I had like characters and I told a story and I had like the content like interwoven in it. And it was pretty boss and badass, if I may say so myself. I was like super happy with it. But the funny thing is that they had me in the largest auditorium for that talk. And it was probably a third, maybe a fourth full, which was a little disheartening. But at the time I was like, I don't care. It's the last time I'm doing this talk anyway, whatever. Then they had me do the creativity talk like the next day. It was called The Art of Disciplined Creativity. And they had me in the room and the room was packed. And there were people standing along the sides of the walls, wow. sitting in the aisles and standing along the back. And I was like, there you go.
So what do you attribute that to? What do you think it is that when you, like you gave this talk on creativity, which was new for them and hadn't been done before, that attracted people? What is it that people want to know about this that makes this so appealing?
Well, you know, I think what it boils down to is that we all need, you know, whether you're in a technical situation, like when you, whether you're like a developer and you think of yourself as technical, or you're in, you're a startup founder, or you're a, excuse me, you're a, like a UX designer, or you're a content writer, you're a marketer, or what have you, you're a scientist, a research scientist, everybody needs the skill of creativity. And what is true is that everybody needs that, but it's not taught anywhere. Mm-hmm. It is not taught anywhere. Even people who are, I've talked to quite a few people who are like, I did an MFA and nobody has taught this, any of this kind of process that you're talking about in my MFA program. Nobody talks about the inner critic and how to get over the inner critic. Nobody talks about how to generate ideas. They're just like, here's your assignment, go. And I was just like, are you kidding? Like, this is a program where you have to have these tools. You have to have these skills. And it's a really important skill, I think, to have in any job, in any profession, and in any industry. And nobody talks about it. Nobody teaches it. And so the thing, the irony is that everybody's expected to use it nonetheless.
Yeah.
Now, we're not going to teach you how to use the skill. We're not going to talk about it, but you should just know.
Right.
And so I think because of that, everybody's like really hungry for it because in my mind, at least, creativity is really related to a lot of things. It's related to productivity. It's related to clarity. It's related to innovation. It's related to flow. It's related to collaboration. It's related to a lot of these things. It touches a lot of different areas. And again, if you're the better you are at creative thinking and problem solving and knowing how to tap into that for yourself and how you can tap into that process, your own process of that, and get to that place where you're coming up with the ideas and stuff faster, then you will be more effective in all of those other areas as well.
Yeah, that's really true. Mm-hmm. So how have you dealt with challenges with choosing to go this direction and kind of doing your own thing? What kind of challenges have you faced, and have you been able to kind of creatively problem solve dealing with those things?
Well, you know, this is like totally a work in progress, right? Like, haven't cracked the code on any of this stuff. But one of the challenges I think that I've come up with is I think I'm more of a visionary. Like, I just like basically want to come up with ideas and execute upon them or find people to execute them. And I'm kind of more of that person than I am like a marketer. And I think in a lot of ways, people who are marketers have the ability to get people interested in stuff, whether they need it or not. Mm-hmm. And somebody can really need something, you know, people can really need something, but if you don't market it, this is my impression at least, and this has been kind of my experience. I feel like if you don't market stuff well, then it's not going to get in front of the people who need to see it, right? So I feel like one of my challenges has been is that I've got this really great content, and I've got these really great kind of like, for lack of a better term, products in terms of like my keynotes and my workshops and everything. And I just feel like a big frustration is I'm either not describing it well enough, or I'm not using the right language or something. And like, it hits some people and it doesn't hit others, even though I know that everybody needs this. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I feel like that's been a challenge, and that's been something that I'm kind of constantly working with. And I know that there's definitely a thing where if you're just really good at what you do, then people will gravitate to you and blah, blah, blah. And also I know that you can be really good at what you do and it doesn't matter. unless people see, you know, more, the more people who see it and the more people who get exposed to it, the more then they'll realize that it's useful and et cetera.
Yeah, I think that's very true. That happens a lot in the academic community too, when they're like, they send descriptions to us for conferences, and it's like, whoa, I'm sure this is a really interesting talk, but we got to make this more appealing in the market. You know, it just doesn't come across. And it's all about what you said, how people perceive what they're going to hear about. And then when they get there and it's something different, I've had this happen before, even at Women Who Test, they're like, oh my God, this is not what I thought it was going to be, but it's been the most amazing day I've ever had.
Right. So
it because it's stuff that, you know, everybody needs to hear.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, I did my Banish Your Inner Critic keynote, the most recent one, just a couple of days ago at the International Institute for Business Analysts Columbus chapter in Columbus. And it was really interesting because I don't know, you know, people are like, Banish Your Inner Critic. Oh, that's all righty then. That's nice, dear. And then they sit in there and I'm like, okay, look, here's the science behind it. Here's the research behind it. This is the problem. Here's the research behind what you can do. And this is how you can deal with it. And people, I feel like, walk out of there like, oh my God, this was so like, and then I had a lot of people come up and say, this was like the perfect thing that I needed to hear right now. Like, I just got job promotion doing so-and-so, and my inner critic was like kicking up, and I was thinking so many things that you talked about, and this is exactly what I needed to hear. One woman was literally in tears, like, not because it was so bad.
She's like, go home.
That was the worst keynote I've ever seen in my entire life. Yeah. I can't get that hour and a half back. She was not crying because she was in tears because she was like, this was such, she couldn't even articulate. She was like, this has just been so huge and so important. And I just want to thank you so much. Like, I can't even tell you how huge and important this is, and this is going to change everything for me.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, baby, I gave her a big hug. And she was just like, and then the other thing, and we need to talk about this too, is the fact that I'm African American and doing keynotes. And so a lot of the people who came up to me were Black women.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And like, they were all like, this was really important. Like this was really important for me. As a matter of fact, this couple came, both African American, and the woman was like, we weren't going to come to the conference. And I went on the website and I saw your picture and read your description and I signed us up as soon as I saw that. She was like, no, we're going.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that you can't be what you can't see. So having you as a role model,
girl, preach,
is just amazing.
You can't be what you can't see. Amen, sister.
Yes.
So, right. And so, I mean, it was just, it's like for me as a keynote speaker and a person who's really passionate about this and really just really wanting people to get in touch with that powerful part of themselves and to feel empowered and to feel like they can show up in the world in their most kind of authentic and strong way and do the work that they came here to do. You mean, and when I say came here, I mean came to the planet, incarnated in this body, in this time and space and place and everything, that we come here for a reason. And then we get distracted with all of the shenanigans that go on around us. And oftentimes we get so distracted that we forget what we came here for and what we came here with. And it's like, we each come with all of these strengths and all of this brilliance and all of this genius. And I always feel like, well, then like, let's do something with it. Like, let be something that you put out and you put into the world and that you change the world and you affect it in a positive way. So you leave it better than it was when you came.
I feel like there's such a strong need for that in the tech community too, because it's so easy to get caught up in the tech side of the industry. Like, what's the latest thing? What's the latest technique? How do I learn this? How do I become more efficient? How do I become more productive? Mm-hmm. How am I putting out better code? But, you know, I think the reason I see the kind of work that you do is so needed at conferences and things like that is because these are human beings that are doing this work, and they are human. They have human needs. And so, and that so often doesn't get addressed, right?
It doesn't. And it's like, when you address that human side, and this is the thing, it's like, this is an aspect, this is a skill set or a quality or however you want to think about it, that affects everything you do. Right? If you don't feel good about your ability to come up with ideas, if you are second guessing and downplaying and poo-pooing every single thing that you come with, or maybe not every single thing, but like 50%, good 50, 60%, then you're not operating at your peak capacity. You're not performing as high as you can, and you aren't contributing as strongly as you can. And then that means everybody loses out. Right? And it's not just you that loses out. I mean, you could have that idea that like sparks a chain reaction within your team or within your company that changes everything. It could be within you.
Right.
Like, I mean, just like it could be within anybody else that you work with. It could be, you could be the beginning of it, or you could be part of the chain of the process that makes somebody else's idea better. But if you're all like so caught up and I don't know enough and I need to go back to school and my ideas aren't very good and I'm not very creative and then how in the world are you going to get to that?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had that conversation just with Angie Jones the other day, right? And she said the same thing. She said that she was like not stepping up in her job. And at that moment when she kind of overcame her fear of sharing her ideas, she was like overwhelmed with how well things went. I mean, it didn't always go perfectly, but you know, it led to her and the team she was working with getting all kinds of patents. But this was all stuff that she was kind of containing. And until she, you know, found the courage to say it out loud and to not feel like she was going to be judged or thought she was, you know, not smart or whatever, it didn't manifest itself.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I met Angie at Agile Alliance 2017, and she saw my closing keynote. So I would like to say that maybe my I influenced her to start speaking
I
up.
Love
and
it. Sharing
her idea. There you go. There you go.
I'm like, I'm going to take credit for that. I'm
all right.
Thank you.
She's awesome.
Nice. So yeah. How do you feel about playing a game here?
Of course. How many years have we been playing games with each other?
I know. Since the fjords.
Since the fjords.
Yes. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Allison, yes. you should see this. I don't know if you can post this on the website or whatever, Jesse, but there's this great picture of the dinner on the cruise where Jesse and me and Doc are sitting together and we're all looking like we're asleep. Like Jesse and I are like leaning on Doc's shoulders with like our mouths open, like we're snoring.
We're just so excited.
Yeah.
This is the most exciting
cruise ever.
With the fjords in the background.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Another shrimp sandwich, please. Yeah.
Thank you.
So
I have this like not fully formed idea for a game, but
excellent.
I think we should see what happens.
Let's do this thing.
So I have this idea that we should pretend that we're going to the Academy Awards, but they're for the imposters. So it's the imposter or the inner critic Academy Awards.
Okay.
And so basically each of us would welcome somebody up, our imposter or inner critic, and then we would thank all the people that
oh my god, that's hilarious.
So Allison, do you have a name of your inner critics?
I'm just thinking, oh my god, am I going to be like naming all of the
you can put schma in front of it or whatever, yeah. Or be a little less specific.
Try to not hurt the innocent.
Yes.
Try not to have to change names.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute.
That's me.
Yes.
Yes. So I think what we'll do is I'll introduce one of you as your imposter, your inner critic's name, and then you'll pretend like you're coming up and you'll do a couple of thanks before the music and the violins play you off because you talk too much, and then
no, right.
And then I'll introduce you, Denise, and so we'll play it twice so you can give all your thanks. So I'll start with Allison. Denise, you can think about a few of things while waiting. Mm-hmm. So Allison, what is the name of your, do you have an imposter or inner critic that has a name?
I think our listeners have discovered this already, so I'm going to go with Worthless Wendy. Worthless Wendy is my gal.
Okay. So next up this evening, I'd like to bring up Worthless Wendy. So she is going to get the award for the most worthless of the world. Please welcome Worthless Wendy.
Wow. I am truly feeling worthless right now.
Perfect.
I don't deserve this award in any way, shape, or form. But I do want to thank some of the people that have contributed to my worthlessness over my life. First up, I'd like to thank my kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Shelton. Yes, I'm naming names.
Okay.
Mrs. Shelton, the times that you locked me in the closet during spelling.
Oh, my God.
Made me the worst speller in school, which today lives on in all sorts of forms. And I truly want to thank you for that. And then, Mrs. Shelton, there was the time that you slapped me with a ruler when I jumped out of line to point out some flora and fauna to you, because that was my thing. I loved flora and fauna. And beautiful. You were so appreciative of my commentary. You slapped me with a ruler and told me to get back in line. Let me see who else I need to thank. Oh, I need to thank my incredible tennis coach who sussed out my poor tennis skills and made me a shining example of how worthless a tennis player I was, which was pretty hard for the daughter of a tennis pro. There's so many people I could thank, but I think that's enough for today. The music is playing.
Yes, we can all hear it in the background.
And I can't take up too much of your time because I am so worthless.
Oh my gosh.
Ta-da!
Drag yourself off the stage. Thank you. Yay! All right, perfect. Allison, do you want to introduce Denise's? Do you have a name, Denise?
Yes.
Okay, Allison.
I do. Yes, I'm sorry. The name is name is Degrading Donna.
Wow. And next up at the Academy Awards for Imposter, we have the most interesting person we know. Her name is Degrading Donna. We want to welcome her to the stage.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh my gosh, you guys are far too kind. And it would be great if your dresses were a little cuter. But I just want to thank everybody here, even though you've got spinach stuck in your teeth and your little cross-eyed. You guys are still a wonderful audience. And I just want to thank you for helping me to be the most degrading, critical, and judgmental person that I can possibly be. It's such an honor. And I have to say that I learned from the best. I learned from the best. If it weren't for my mentor, Don Shaw, who taught me that taking somebody onto a volleyball team and then saying that they had potential, but then telling them at the end that they're holding everybody else on the team back. I mean, that was just sheer and unadulterated brilliance that I don't know if I could even, that I could even surpass. And I just thought, I want to be like that. When I grow older, I want to suck the life and dreams out of people that I interact with so that they know what the world is really like and that they can push themselves to be better.
Yay.
And I just want to say to all of you, you can do better.
Nice. Nice.
Good at that.
You get the golden broccoli in your teeth, spinach in your teeth award.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Perfect. Well, thank you for playing. So before we wrap up today, we would love to hear, not from Degrading Donna, but we would like to hear from Denise. What are some things you have coming up next around the corner or things you're excited about that you're working on?
Oh my God, I'm super excited. So I have to say, and I'm mad, you guys, and they're like, really? I'm like super excited or whatever.
Like nobody's gonna be as good as Denise.
I know, because you know, I learned from the best. So I have to say, Allison, you aren't aware of this, but Jesse actually was very instrumental in a really cool process, a really cool realization that happened for me like either last year or in 2016. I think it was last year when I was in the process of writing my book and talking to Jesse about it. And she was saying, you know, if it takes you this long to write your book, then it takes you this long to write the book. And I was like, okay. And she was like, you know what? If you need silence to write and you need to focus and you don't, and you can't do anything else while writing, then that's what it is. That's what you do. And I was like, oh, and she was like, yeah, don't beat yourself up. And she was like my coach. Don't beat yourself up about like what other people do with their writing process. That's not your writing process. You own your own process. You do you. And I was like, oh. And that led me to also realizing that I had this tendency to, I make things. I make jewelry and I make handmade herbal soap. And I just really like making products and like creating a new brand for my products and all this stuff. And basically with her, like, you do you, I was like, I like making products. Like, that's what I naturally do. And it's just, it's just what I naturally do. And I enjoy it. And I love the process. And I love coming up with all the things and how to do this. So long story short, I have been kind of like having several products, like actual physical products that I've been kind of kicking around that I've been wanting to start producing. And I have this, had this really great idea about making like what's kind of called like a wow box for clients. So either for prospective clients to send to prospective clients to get them familiarized with my work, or to send as gifts to past clients. And I was just talking to, speaking of continuous delivery, I had dinner with Jez Humble on Saturday when I was in the Bay Area. God, he's such a dear. And so I was telling him about this thing that I had, and I was like, okay, so it's got like multiple components to it. It's got my book, Banish Your Inner Critic, and then it's got this like brain squeeze ball, and then like a couple of information cards with how to change your mind by hand, with the squeeze ball to stop rumination, and then swipe left to delete bad thoughts. And then I talk a lot about alpha brain wave mode and how you can leverage that for creativity, because that's really where kind of it's like the gateway to creativity. And so I had this great idea to take, there are these great notes that you can put in your shower that are waterproof. They're called Aqua Notes. And you can put this notepad in the shower, and when you have ideas in the shower, which everybody does, and there's science behind that, that you can write notes down. And so I was going to package the Aqua Notes with my soap that I make, and then have an information card about alpha brainwave modes and how to like make sure that your ideas don't go down the drain, blah, 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 blah. Then there are these beautiful micro puzzles that are really nice with like modern art on them. And I wanted to have an information card with that about how doing work with your hands helps you solve problems better and be clearer thinking, and how also working with puzzles helps you see how pieces fit together, and that can help your thinking process if you're trying to solve problems. And then a tea, an herbal tea, because I love doing herbs and I make herbal formulations and teas and stuff like that for healing. And so to have a tea that's like a tea for focus and concentration and clarity called Mental Clarity. And have like an information card about that, and then have this all together in this beautiful package, and it's called Your Creative Dose.
I love it.
So I was telling Jez and my friend Ash about this, and Jez was like, I want to buy that right now. Like, I want that for myself and to give as gifts to other people right now. And I was like, oh, I never thought that I would make it a retail product. But having him say that, I was like, I'll make it a retail product. And so I'm formulating in my head how I can turn this into a retail product, because I've been wanting to do like a subscription box service, but this is close because I didn't want to try to keep figuring out what to put in these boxes. So I was like, then that will have this as like a box gift that people can buy. And if they want to just buy the components, they can buy the components themselves, or they can have different combinations that they can do. And So I'm thinking maybe next year that I'll be able to launch that as a full product, that's a full offering.
This is why you are the creative evangelist.
Exactly.
That's
why
I am. And so yeah, so look for Your Creative Dose coming to soon.
To a strip mall near
interweb. Coming to the interwebs. We're going to try to keep it classy.
Got it. Sorry. Well, Denise, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me. This is such a delight.
I'm so glad to get to meet you, Denise. It's awesome. Soon, one day we will meet up in person. And
that's
I'm
right.
Really glad to have talked to you today.
Yeah, well, likewise. I'm super excited. And we'll have some tostones and some maduros and some frijoles negros
and some other
frijoles y cristianos and some so we'll have
si por favor.
Perfect. Well, adios amigos, and everybody else out there for joining us today. Bye.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
It was great catching up with Denise today. There were so many gems. I really loved playing the imposter inner critic Academy Awards with her. That was hysterical. You guys were killing it. Killing me.
I got that worthless Wendy down.
You do. You do. You need to get the tattoo.
It was really, really good. I love so many things that she's had to say. And by the way, I got her book, Banish Your Inner Critic, and it's truly amazing. It's really, really incredible. It's definitely worthwhile read.
Definitely.
I love everything that she had to say. And I loved how she talked about her journey and how she got to that place and how she sort of did the research and reached out to so many people. It was a really cool example, reaching out to other women online and just figuring out, how do I silence this voice in my head?
Mm-hmm. And that we're all kind of a community out there helping each other when we have our highs and lows. I think it's good for people to see that no matter how much notoriety you have or not, that we all kind of deal with these same inner struggles.
Absolutely. And I think the part that I want to replay is the part where she talked about, after she'd done all of this work to overcome her inner critic, that she got into this amazing flow. And I know this has happened to me at times before. And it's truly about when you are sort of balanced inside and feeling great, that everything just flows out of you, and how easy it was for her to work and how she had this endless amounts of creative energy and how that just drove her forward to do what she did.
I start working on my website for my book because I hadn't had a chance to do that because I was like, you know, writing a book and stuff. And I started working on my website and I had this amazing experience. So I had this experience where I went into this like phenomenal flow state that just lasted for hours. And I even broke it and came back to it, and it just lasted for hours. And I was, you know, I was in Photoshop and I was doing the design according to my sketch and then embellishing and all this stuff. And it was the first time in 9 months that I didn't have that voice that said, is it good enough? And is it this? And, you know, your design needs to be better, and all this stuff. It was the first time. And so I had this amazing experience, went to sleep at 5:30 in the morning, woke up at 7:30 in the morning.
What?
And
I would have been
crying. Yeah, no, I write. And I woke up and I just felt like, you know, that feeling when you're in love with somebody and you're just that like, oh, everything is amazing and wonderful. And
I had that
feeling, but instead of it being externalized to another person, it was all focused back on myself.
That is really, really cool.
And I love that.
And it was focused. It was like, I fell in love with my ability to create, and I was in love with my ideas, and I was in love with my way of expressing it. And it was like the first time that I had really ever felt like that. And in that moment, I thought to myself, I want to help other people feel like this. Like, this yes. is the most amazing feeling.
You've been listening to Women Who Change Tech, the podcast that connects you to extraordinary women for deep, inspiring conversations.